Psalm chapter 19. For those that are visitors, we're so glad you're here. It is so good to see Darlene's sons here, and you've honored her. It's so good. I wanted you to know, we celebrate Mother's Day 52 weeks of the year. And so I expect to see you guys next week and here on after. But thank you for honoring your mother. She's a delight for us. And Justin, the grandson, he's a delight to us as well. So it's just, I love to see that. I love to see Brooke's mother here, right? It's just good. It's a, you know, it's a blessing. It's just good. I'm thankful for my mom. She's feisty and she's 80, right? And so, but she lets me push her a little bit. Lets me push her a little bit. I'm thankful. So Psalm chapter 19, title of the message today, be a wow woman. And every woman, we just love when they come around the corner, somebody to go, wow, right? I mean, that's what Adam, that's where the word, you know, woman came from. He goes, wow, man. Okay, bad joke. But it's be a wow woman. What do I mean by that? A woman of the word. And so we're going to focus this today. I want to tell you this. The most important job, I believe, in the world is the job of a mom. There's no doubt about it. It is, you are framing, you are molding the next generation. I think it was Abraham Lincoln, I'll give him credit even if he doesn't deserve it, said, I think he made this statement, maybe he copied it from somebody, the woman that rocks the cradle rocks the world. And so I want to tell you today, it's God's word. Be a woman of the word. I'm going to show you today from this passage, you're going to see the great benefits of God's word. And I know this. My daughter just had our grandson this past Monday. She's so funny. She was induced on Monday, and she's just so vocal. I don't know where she gets that. But we FaceTimed her while we were watching Elia on Monday, and she's like, there's a woman. She is just screaming and yelling. She goes, I'm going to murder her. I'm like, what? And Joshua said, yeah, pregnancy brings out her maternal nature, right? But so she was so happy once she had the baby. But then, you know, first night, he slept 3 hours, fed, 3 hours, fed. And she's like, we've got the perfect baby. Well, the next night she got 40 minutes of sleep. And so she's wore out. She's going to be wore out for a while. And if there's one description of being a mom, it's, I don't know, if you ever feel rested, you always feel tired, and you never feel done, right? I love being a man. I'm always done. It's done. Good night. And if you're a mom, it's never done. You just have to put it on hold. I want to tell you this one thought this morning that we're going to see in God's Word. With all your busyness, and it's all good, laundry is enough just to overwhelm you. It's just got to be done. Our friends Josh and Jen McGee, right? You know them. They just started a new pastorate, so they have them in a parsonage. They have them in a parsonage that is another church's parsonage for a couple months till they find their house, right? And so Jen is just beside herself because she's like, "I'm so thankful they're letting us stay in this parsonage for free, so it's saving them a little money." But the dryer doesn't work. They don't have an outlet for the dryer. And it's enough to make a mom go crazy. And she said, I just feel so shallow. So she's talking to Deb and I feel so shallow that I don't have a dryer and it's just throwing my whole life. And I said, you need a dryer. We're not in Little House on the Prairie days where you used to hanging your laundry out, right? So you don't have a dryer, it's a big deal. I remember this. I remember my wife. It's when our kids started doing the laundry. Came home from work one day and she's just crying. And she's just upset. And I said, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she just finally, I got it out of her. She goes, I can't get the laundry done. I can't get the laundry done. I said, kids, you're doing your own laundry. And she's like, no, no, no. And so I said, yes. I said, you know. And so sometimes they would have crunchy underwear because they didn't do their laundry. But they learned. They learned. I didn't care if they had pink underwear. It didn't bother me. Who's going to see it anyway? And so they learned how to do their own laundry. And it was a relief to my wife, not for the first couple of months. And so, you know, we got them each baskets in their room. So, dads, I want to tell you this. You see your wives stressed. See if you can help relieve it. You know, and so, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, we had kids, and I called them servants. And so use them, man. Use them. There's no child labor laws against parenthood. I mean, man, I tell you what, I dreaded the day my kids left. And because you know what happens? I'm the only kid left, and my wife thinks I'm going to pick up the slack. And it's rough. Anyway, happy Mother's Day. It is, it's so good. So good to have you. Let's look at Psalm chapter 19. And we're going to read verses 7 through 11. But if you'll allow, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. I think Todd mentioned this, but I want to give you the perspective that I think is happening here in Psalm chapter 19. It's a Psalm of David. Look at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, talking about creation. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Still talking about creation. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit into the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Talking about the sun, God's creation. And so I want you to understand. Then all of a sudden we make a transition. Look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Let me just give a thought, and then we'll move into the text this morning. It's this. And if you missed Sunday school, you need to watch the video that we'll upload to YouTube. But Todd did a great job just highlighting the glory of God's creation. I learned more about hummingbirds than I ever wanted to know. But it is, it's so good, right? So I feel bad, you know, but it's cool because it's glory to God. Here's what I believe is happening in Psalm chapter 19. And Todd said that this morning. You can't be saved by looking at creation. Oh, you can be made aware and you can acknowledge that God exists, and Romans 1 tells us that. And it is glorious. It is wonderful. It is beautiful, right? His creation and just the details of creation. But you can't be saved. And so if you really want to know God, that's where we transition in verse 7. You're going to see different descriptions of the Word of God, different phrases for the Bible. And so moms, here's what it is. Be a wow woman, a woman of the Word. I want to encourage you with this. If it's just 20 minutes a day, find 20 minutes a day that you can get alone. You have to lock yourself in a room. So, Dad, I want to tell you this. Schedule it. And so, Mom, say, honey, I need this time, and it's going to be 30 minutes where the kids aren't allowed to knock on the door, aren't allowed to walk in, right? I mean, just, you know, I forgot. It's just Deb and I at our house, right? And so I didn't lock the bathroom door this past week. Boom, Elia walks in. I'm like, Elia! And she is none aware. And I'm like, let Papa finish here. And she's just carrying on. And I'm like, you know. And so I get it. I had a mom moment, right, where you just can't have a moment of peace. But here's what I want to encourage you, ladies. You don't have any time. You're the busiest people in the world. But I want to tell you, don't be too busy for the Word of God. You need it. I pray that when I'm done preaching this morning, you will see the utmost importance and the priority. Dads, help your wives. Have 30 minutes alone. You take the kids. Do whatever it says. Let them scream bloody murder. I don't care. It is, get them so that your wives can spend time in the Word. I want to tell you this. The greatest blessing that my wife is to me, and she's a blessing to me in millions of ways, is that she knows the Bible, she loves the Bible, and the Bible guides her. It is the greatest blessing ever. I've told you stories about my wife. I love that she's not here. But when we got married, I wasn't a man of the Word. Not a Mo, but I guess we'll call them mobs, men of the book. Right? I don't know. I don't know what the description is for men, but I'm not preaching that message on Father's Day. But it's this. My wife, when we got married, she read the Bible all the time. I would see her, she's reading the Bible. Just trying to make me feel guilty is what I, how dumb was I? She would read the Bible. She would study the Bible. She loved the Bible. She knew the Bible. And so I want to encourage you. You can't change yesterday. This young lady that I met on the plane yesterday, she had never heard. I said, what do you know about Jesus? She said, I don't know. I've just heard about him. I said, tell me anything you know. She said, really, I don't know anything. 32 years old, lives in America, lives just, you know, miles away from this church. And she couldn't tell me anything about Jesus. You know what I told her? I said, that's okay. We'll start. I asked her about Adam and Eve. She goes, I've heard of them. And so I was just told her a few things. I want you to know this. Be a woman of the Word. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. Let's read this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I want to show you today, just in these few verses, how being a woman of the Word will change your life. You can't change yesterday, and so what you have to have is just the discipline. You have to believe in this. You have to be convinced. What I need to have the Word of God. I need to meditate on the Word of God. I need to get the Word of God in me. I need to be a woman of the Word. First thing I want you to see in this passage is the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You're going to see different descriptions of God's Word. Here it's called the law of the Lord. It's talking about the Bible. The law of the Lord is perfect. I want you to understand this. This is my bias. It's the bias of many people in this room. See, everybody that I talk to, they are okay with the Bible until they disagree with it. And here's what, I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of people tell me this. They go, oh, when they disagree with the Bible, they go, oh, you know, the Bible's just written by men. Here's what I was told just this morning. The young man that was changing his tire in our parking lot, he said, you know, because I gave him a Mark New Testament. And I told him this. He goes, yeah, I like that better than the Old Testament. And I just right away, I said, it's the same God in the Old Testament. I said, you need to understand, he didn't change between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I said, what we need to understand, that if we're not right with him, we will face the wrath of God. Not wrath that's out of control, the wrath that we rightly deserve. I want you to understand this. It's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The Word of God is perfect. I'll give you my bias. I believe that. I believe that we have an English Bible that's translated from the perfect Word of God, from the perfect Hebrew and the perfect Greek. And so, you know, you'll never hear me say the King James Bible is a perfect translation. I will tell you this, what you'll hear me say is the King James Bible is an accurate translation of the perfect Word of God. What I love today is that if you have any questions, you can just, in 5 seconds, get to the Hebrew, get to the Greek, and get a greater breadth and understanding of those words. It's a beautiful time that we live. But I want to tell you this. I believe God preserved his word, and it is perfect, without error. You can Google errors of the Bible, and it's endless. I want to tell you, though, if you just then Google answers to supposed errors in the Bible, there are simple answers. There are no contradictions, though yes, when you read the Bible, it looks like there are contradictions. It's that we have little minds, but the Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is without error. And have that confidence, but here's the key. Oh, mama, oh, papa, it is this. The Word of God is perfect, converting the soul. Every mama that's saved in this room, you want your children to know the Lord. You want your children to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You want them to know them. Talked to a guy at Chick-fil-A this past week, ended up being the owner. Wasn't sure about that. I thought he was working there because I apologized at first because he was right behind us and I had Elia, and Elia's just a ton of fun, you know, looking on the windows and everything. And so I was like, I hope they cleaned that before here now. Anyway, so I just said, then when I found that he worked there, I said, oh, I feel better. I thought you were just somebody here trying to have quiet time and study. He goes, no, he ended up being the owner. And so as I would, you know, I talked to him about this. I said, what do you think about this concept? I said, I'm convinced that God would have every single believer teach other people the Bible. What do you think about that? He goes, oh, no way. No way. He goes, I cannot teach people the Bible. That's not for me. God wouldn't have me do that. I said, oh, my. I said, do you have children? He said, I do. And he beamed and he told me how old they were, very similar ages to my children. I thought for sure he was older than me. And, you know, that's just a delusion. And so I was like, oh, you're my age. You look so much older. I didn't tell him that. But he told me his kid's age. And I said, oh, What a bummer. I said that you could not teach your children the Bible. I said, how big a bummer is that? He goes, no, I taught my children the Bible. I said, heart be still. I said, you mean you taught your children the Bible? I said, I want to ask you the question. Who's more important, your children or a stranger? And he goes, well, my children. And I said, God's okay with that. If we ignore the stranger, we're wrong. You understand that? And I told him this. I said, either you did a terrible job teaching your kids, or I said, you're fully capable of teaching others. And the devil's just convinced you that you can't. If what you taught your kids was good enough for your kids, and I know you loved your kids, then just teach other people what you taught your kids. I said, yes, you can teach the Bible. Yes, you can teach the Bible. Oh, Mom, just begin to open the book. I had 3 Bibles ready for our visitors that didn't come, just so you know. I get disappointed too. So keep trying to reach people for Jesus Christ, and you know what? You'll be able to. Isn't it so good that I can move now? You guys are just waiting for me to like crumble and collapse on my hip. But it's so good to move. I hated being behind that pulpit. But it's, so what I had was, I had a children's storybook. I said, I want you to read your 9-year-old this children's storybook every night. 1 to 2 pages. And I said, it's not the Bible, but it's a shortened summary of some of the key stories of the Bible. I said, but it'll help you. I want you to know this. Oh, Mom, you can teach your kids the Bible. Learn the Bible with them. You do not want to one day see your kids grown and wish you had taught them the Bible. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The only way anybody's saved is by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We need to be teaching our kids the Bible. But, oh, Mom, unless it's in you, you have nothing to give them. I tell you, I know this. You don't have 20 minutes, but you've got to make 20 minutes. When you see how God describes His Word, how important it is, it's the most important thing you can do. And I know this. You've just got to make it happen. You've got to find time. You've got to ask God, oh God, give me discipline, give me a thirst, give me a trust in you that your word is perfect and that'll convert the soul. You want your children saved? Teach them the Bible. I'm not telling you that they will be saved, but I'll tell you this. If you don't teach them the Bible, I can tell you, I don't think they're going to be saved. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you're counting on me to preach enough truth, they need to hear it from you. They need to watch you live it. They need to hear it from your own mouth. They'll ask you questions. There's nothing like it. I beg you, be a woman of the word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I want you to look at this verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I don't reference this verse often, but look at this. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I want to show you this. God has given us everything that we need that pertain unto life and godliness. Does the Bible contain all information? Justin? Does the Bible contain all information? No. But here's what the Bible does contain. Everything we need to know about life and godliness. You understand that? The Bible doesn't say 2 + 2 = 4. Right? The Bible doesn't speak of all history. What the Bible does provide for us is it provides for us everything we need to know about life and godliness. Oh, there's more you can learn outside of the Word of God about life and godliness, but I want to tell you this, everything you need to know. You want to have a life that honors God. You want to have a life that is full of joy. It doesn't mean there won't be heartache. You want to have a life that is full of joy and godliness and a love for God, as we're talking about in Sunday school. It's going to come from the Word of God. I want to encourage you, the Word of God is everything that we need. The testimony of the Lord. It's another word, another way to call the Bible. The testimony of the Lord. This is the Lord's testimony. Do you have a testimony? What do I mean by testimony? If I ask you, Don, tell me how you came to know Jesus Christ. You would then tell me how you came to know Jesus Christ. I want to hear the whole story. I don't want the abridged version. I want the whole story. And so one day maybe we'll have testimony time. I would love to hear your story. I think everybody would love to hear your story. The goodness of God, how He even saves old men like you and young men like me. Don's just a few years older than me. I know he looks a lot older than that, but you have a testimony. The Bible's called the testimony of the Lord. Is that an amazing statement? The testimony of the Lord. The Lord says, Randall, let me tell you about myself. I want you to know me. I want you to understand me. I want you to hear my testimony. And we heard it all comes down to love this morning. He wants you to know this. I am the God of love. Everything that goes wrong is not from God. It's from man and man's sin. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It's reliable. You can count on it. The Bible, it's perfect, but you can count on it. You can rely on it. You read the Bible. Ask people questions, right? So, am I understanding this right? Before you say, I'm going to, it's sure, it's reliable. Make sure you understand it. But it's sure making wise the simple. You know what the simple are? People without wisdom. If you're the normal mom, and maybe some moms here think they're succeeding, most moms think they're an utter failure. Most moms think their kids are just going to, you know, just be destroyed. And so it's just, it's a mom thing. Dads are like, you know, if you ask a dad, how's your marriage on a scale of 1 to 10? I guess I'll go a little low, 8.5. You know, if you ask the wife, what's your marriage on a scale of 1 to 10? Is there any other options below 1? They're not that bad, but wives are typically much lower, right? And it's not that they're saying their husband's a loser. They just feel like they're just not carrying their weight. It's just, it's a thing that I have observed with ladies. You think you're failing. And men, maybe we have a part to do with that. We need to encourage. We need to exhort. We need to love our wives better. We need to let them know how well they're doing. We need to let them know how thankful we are. But I want you to understand this. Ladies, if you're feeling inadequate, you're feeling like, you're the dumbest person in this room. I want to tell you this, Christianity has nothing to do with intelligence. Wisdom has nothing to do with intelligence. Wisdom's from God. Oh, wisdom can come from experience, but wisdom's from God. I want you to know this. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You don't want to be simple. Simple people get fooled. Simple people get deceived. Simple people fall for anything. Simple people ruin their life. You want to be a person with wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Lord. It tells us in James 1 that if you ask God for wisdom, He will give it liberally. He will give it generously. He will not hold back for you. When's the last time you asked for wisdom? But I want you to understand this. The Bible, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Ladies, I want you to know this. You need wisdom. Now, again, I tell you this, hopefully the last time I'll tell you today, this message I am focusing on our ladies. This message applies to you, Stephen. This message doesn't escape anybody in this room. But I'm focusing on ladies, but don't check out. Don't check out on me. It's this. I'm telling you this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I know this, that what Molly needed yesterday in the airplane, she needed the Word of God. She needed the testimony of the Lord. She needed me to share with her the Scriptures. I'm not devastated that she's not here today. We are going to reach Molly for Jesus Christ. I believe that. I think we just might reach this young man that had car trouble out here. Did you guys have some good conversations with him? He seemed sincere, yes. And we'll see. I mean, I got his number. Either that, I didn't. You know, normally people give me random numbers that aren't theirs. And so But trust me, that happens. That's why I tell people, let me see if it dinged. And then it does. I say, okay, I gotcha. But it's this. It's what he needs is the Bible. He knew everything about Jesus. He grew up Roman Catholic. But it was not personal. Because what he told me right away when I just said, well, do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, well, I'm Catholic. I said, the devil loves labels. I said, you don't get to heaven because of a label. I said, do you have any idea why God should let you into heaven? One of the answers is not, I'm Catholic, oh, come on in. I get that all the time. And I love Roman Catholics. I better because I live in Cincinnati, dominated with Roman Catholicism. I'm not picking on you. But being Catholic won't get you to heaven. Let me, newsflash, being a Baptist won't get you to heaven. You must be born again. The testimony of the Lord. I want you to think of this as the Bible. This is God's testimony. This is God saying, I want you to know me. I want you to understand me. And it'll make wise the simple. Ladies, you want your kids to be saved? You need to be a woman of the Word. Ladies, you want to have wisdom? You need to be in the book. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. It's this. Get it in your ears. You know what? How do you make laundry eternal? Listen to the Word of God. Here's how you'll do it. Listen to the same chapter over and over and over again. The Bible's not something to be read too quickly. Here's what happens. I've had my 45-minute drives, and I listen to the Word of God. I'll hit the first five verses, and then I'll get distracted by some crazy driver, and then I'll come back in verse 9. But I keep listening to it over and over again, and when I'm listening to the Bible, I'm trying to say, what is it saying? I want to frame it in my mind. What is it saying? Get the Bible in you. You want to be wise? It comes from the Word of God. So, third, I want you to see the statutes of the Lord are right. This is another way to describe the Bible. The statutes, this is what God has laid out for our instruction. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I tell you this, do you want to be happy? I want to be happy. I want to have joy in my life. I don't think I've met anybody that doesn't. The source of joy is Jesus Christ. The source of joy is knowing who Jesus is. I've met a ton of people. They tell me they know who Jesus is, but they don't know him. I think that young man out in our parking lot this morning. He told me this. He said, everything you've said, I agree with. I said, but yet it's not personal, is it? I said, you didn't wake up this morning and talk to him and say, how can I honor you? How can I live for you? He's not your love. He's not your master. He's not your delight. I said, if you knew him, he would be. The statute of the Lord are right, rejoice in the heart. I want you to tell you this. Enjoy motherhood. Super hard. Right, April? I mean, let me tell you, I'm looking at two tests right in front of you, right? Jalea's like, you know, I'm on the good side now. Junior's kind of in the middle, and then it's all good. But I want to tell you this. I hope you see hope. You know, these two right here ought to encourage you. Still a work in progress. Still a work. Guys, do not. I just don't put your thumbs up. I mean, right now, here's where I'm at, right? And so I'm just kidding. But you know what I love? I believe this, Jalea. I believe you want to do what's right. Junior, I think you're strongly considering it. But I think this, Junior, I've watched a difference in your attitude. I want you to want to be a man that honors God. It's the only way you're going to have true joy and happiness. And the world's going to sell you a line that won't give you true joy and happiness. You need to know the Word of God. Just begin. You know, you can't know the entire book until you know 10 verses. And then you know 20 verses. And so my encouragement for you is know the Bible. I just encourage you with this. You find yourself unhappy? You find yourself discouraged? Get in the Word of God. I found myself where my heart will be troubled. My heart will be bothering me, and I don't know what it's for. I'll either pray or I'll get in the Word of God and I'll tell the Lord this, and I know we probably shouldn't tell the Lord things, but I'll say, Lord, I'm going to stay in your Word until you encourage me. I'm just going to wrestle with you a while until I don't even know what's wrong with my heart right now, but I need you to help me. I'm bothered, I'm stirred up, and I'm not happy. I don't even like my wife today. You know, whatever that might be. It's this. I say, Lord, I need you to move my heart. I'm just telling you this. I get in the Word of God. It doesn't take long, but I'm going to wrestle with the Lord. I'm going to wrestle with the Lord with His Word. Because I want to tell you this. I believe this with all my heart because the Bible says this. This is the source of rejoicing. You're struggling with sadness? You're struggling with depression? You're struggling with discouragement? I didn't say that there couldn't be help in addition to the Word of God, but I'll tell you this. This is the great source. My encouragement for you is this. Are you struggling with just enjoying life? Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. This young lady and her sister that I was hoping would be here today, their mother died 2 weeks ago. 53 years old. And died of just extreme alcohol abuse. And they didn't know about eternity. Heartbreaking. Right? Heart's breaking. And so she asked me, she said, how do I understand that? I said, I don't know if I can help you understand specifically, but I told her this. I said, do you know why we all die? It's because of sin. It's a guarantee that she's going to die. It's a guarantee that I'm going to die, for the wages of sin is death. But I want to tell you this. Oh, mom, that's overwhelmed. Oh, mom, that you can just get so frustrated with your kids. I mean, kids are, I mean, it's just Elia is a delight until you tell her what to do. And then she's like, oh yeah? And I mean, she'll test everything. So you know what I love about a grandpa? I never have to tell her what to do. I just say, Elia, what do you want to do? And I'll be like, that's exactly what I wanted to do. And then I hand her over and I'll say, I've created a really rough week for you. I'll see you later. I got to go back to Cincinnati. You know, it's parenthood's hard. Oh, and Elia's at that stage. You know, she's 2.5. And she knows exactly what she's doing. And she knows how to look stupid as well. She'd be like, lo, my heart be still. Why would you be upset with me? Oh, you know, once she turns 3, it's like, okay, it's it. Faker. And, but it's like, understand it's hard. And so you know what? If you focus on the circumstances, on the overwhelming responsibility of motherhood, it'll take your joy. But if you understand the privilege and the delight and the hope that's in God's word, and I want to tell you this, tell your husband, I need 30 minutes, you've got the kids. Schedule that time and be disciplined and just spend time with God alone in a room, reading his word, talking to him, enjoying him. And you can go home and say, you know, Lord, the pastor said that your word is the source of the rejoicing of the heart. I'm not seeing it. Wrestle with God. Say, God, I need you to help me have your word be the rejoicing of my heart. Fourth thing I want you to see. Now, this is interesting. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Oh, hang on. Let me just show you this. Did I already do the commandment of the Lord? No, I put that verse in the wrong spot. Let me go this, and I'm going to come back. The commandment of the Lord is pure. And I'll take you back to Psalm 12, one of my favorite verses. Psalm 12 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I love this verse because this verse is one of the verses that say this. God promised to preserve his word from generation to generation. You know, most people, that most scholars today, they do not believe that we have the perfect preserved word of God as originally given. You understand? That's why I'm a King James guy, because all the other versions of the Bible are from a different text, and nobody believes that that text is the perfect word of God as originally given. But what was used for 1900 years and what the King James Bible is translated from, they always believed it was the perfect word of God. You know why? Because God said he'll keep them and preserve them from this generation forever, exactly as he gave them. I want you to understand that. That's not that big a deal for our God. But I go back to this. I want you to see this. His words, the commandment of the Lord is pure. Do you see the descriptions of the Bible? The law of the Lord, description of the Bible. The testimony of the Lord, description of the Bible. The statute of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You know what it means to have your eyes enlightened? Understanding. Understanding. Do you want to have understanding of the Bible? Do you want to have understanding of life? You want to understand life, but do you want to understand the Bible? It is through God's word that your eyes will be enlightened, that your hearts will be enlightened. Do you want to understand life better and better and better and better? It's through the word of God. I tell you this, ladies, I spent 35 years of my life not being a man of the word. I was too busy. I convinced God that I didn't like to read. I convinced him that I could think on his word and meditate on his word, and my life was not where it should be. My eyes weren't enlightened as they could have been. My wisdom was subpar. I didn't have the joy of the Lord because I didn't know his word. I want you to see all these connections. I want you to understand this, and it's not going to happen overnight. I know television trains us that within 30 minutes, everything will be solved. No, it's in a lifetime God will do all these things. He'll convert the soul. He'll make the wise simple. He'll rejoice the heart, and he'll enlighten your eyes. Do you want to understand the word of God? I will tell you this. Do you want to understand life? Remember that verse in 1 Peter? He's given us everything we need to know about life and godliness. Life and godliness. It's in his word. Fifth, I want you to see, and I'm going to pick up the pace here. It's the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. I want to tell you this. This is what I believe. We can debate this. I believe this is another description of the Bible, the fear of the Lord. Every single one of these descriptions, let me take it to this to this last one. Just I'll put it on there. Do you see all six of these are descriptions of the Bible? That's what makes me say one description of the Bible is the fear of the Lord. Because the Bible says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Where do you get knowledge? Where do you get wisdom? It's from the Word of God. Another description of the Bible is the fear of the Lord. It's the awe and majesty of God. If you want to be in awe of God, if you need to understand this, who God is, it's the Word of God. The fear of the Lord is clean. It's clean, enduring forever. We saw those verses. Maybe that's why I put that verse after that. But the fear of the Lord is clean. Look at this. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. These are just from that one psalm. You want what is true? You want what is righteous? I put the word all together there because this is cool. This is a psalm of David. What did David have at the time that he said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether? He might have had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He might have had Job. He might have had a few other psalms. He might have had a few other texts that were being written at the time. David didn't even have half of the Bible. And he said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And we've been given the entire Bible, all 66 books. And all together, they're true and righteous. They hold together. Oh, mama, I want to tell you this. The key to life is in the Word of God. The key to life is in the Word of God so that, just like in Sunday school, we would know the love of God. The only way, Todd, that we know the love of God, it's not by looking at creation. I don't see that tree and go, man, God loves me. You know how I know God loves me? Through His Word. And then we can go back to history. And Jesus really did die on the cross. Jesus really did rise from the dead. The greatest demonstration of God's love. But I want you to understand this. It's in His Word. It's not enough for you to come to church and hear God's Word preached. It's part of God's plan. But the plan, particularly, I want to tell you this, we've got the printing press. How many of you cannot read? Nobody would raise their hand, yeah. And so, we're blessed. Do you know historically most people couldn't read? They didn't have books in their homes. They didn't have Bibles in their homes. You talk about a blessing. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. And I'm going to run through this. God's Word, you're going to see this in verse 10, is more desirable than much fine gold. Don't make your job more important than God's Word. If you work, you're working 40 plus hours a week. And yet, the average Christian, they can work 40 hours a week for much fine gold. And they don't have time for the Word of God. And they wonder, why is my Christian life not what I think it should be? It's because we've placed all of our time, effort, and energy into pursuing much fine gold. It's to be desired more than much fine gold. God knows you have to have a job. I'm not criticizing that. And so it's even tougher to make a living today. But I want to tell you this. If you put your job and the priority of your job ahead of the Word of God, you will suffer. I'm not preaching this to put you on a guilt trip. I'm preaching this as though, imagine this. If I said, I've got this potion, drink this once a day, and you'll never die. Drink this once a day, and you'll have wisdom. Drink this once a day, and you will be the happiest person around. Drink this once a day, and your children will follow you in the ways of truth. Drink this once a day, and you'll know what is true and what is righteous. Drink this once a day, and you'll have understanding beyond the average person. Would you drink it once a day? I would too. That's the Word of God. I want to get it through my thick skull too, right? Because the Bible is more to be desired than much fine gold. I want to show you this quickly as I move on. It's sweeter than honey. It is, so what we say today is, everybody knows this that knows me. I love Sour Patch Kids. So thank you. Someone gave me some Sour Patch Kids today. So I appreciate that. I'm trying to look where Alex. Where's Alex at? She's in the nursery. Thank you, Alex, for the Sour Patch Kids. The church has been letting me down lately, but I've just learned that the Word of God is better than Sour Patch Kids. All right. Sweeter than honey. How many of you eat honey regularly? Okay. Wow. More than I thought. And so I don't. But I'm just telling you, it's like you can take a little baby. So Callum, you know. So he's been fussy, and so, you know, they got this. I don't know what the name of it is, but you know, little gas drops. And you know why he loves the little gas drops? He's like, it's like sugar. And it does something for his stomach, right? And I'm like, man, he sure likes that. So I tried a little Sour Patch Kid. No, I didn't. And you know what they say, you know, I mean, we've got folks that are like, you guys, you give too much sugar to the kids at church. I'm like, the only thing better than sugar is the Word of God. I have the Bible on my side. And so, no, Jacob, they're like, no. I'm just kidding, okay? Just take a little joke there. It might be right, but I have to do some more research. But the Bible is sweeter than honey. I remember this when I grew up. My parents, they said, you can't have your sweets until you eat your food. Right? And so I promise you this, when I was on my own, and you'll still see me this, when I eat, I'm going to eat the dessert first. A little rebellion in me. When we went to, Deb and I went to grocery shopping the first time, my dad, it was like this, no sugar cereal. You know, so we'd get mini wheats without the frosting. Unfrosted flakes. Right? He'd be like, when my dad wasn't looking, I'd dump all kinds of sugar in there, right? And so when we went grocery shopping the first time, cart full of Captain Crunch berries. I loved Captain Crunch berries. I begged my parents all the time, can we just have just maybe one box of Captain Crunch berries? No, eat your unfrosted mini wheats. Dry, no milk. You know, and it's, I love sugar. The Bible's better. Do you view it that way? Do you view the Bible as the best thing in the world? Do you view the Bible as one of the greatest blessings God could ever give us? I want you to see the third thing. It warns us. Listen to this. This isn't original with me, but I love this. The Bible warns us. Warning, this is, I got this from another commentator. Warning is needed for sins we are susceptible to. Listen to this. Warning is needed for dangers we cannot see. Warning is needed for dangers we cannot appreciate. Warning is needed for dangers far off in the future. Warning is often neglected. God's given us the Bible to say, hey, watch out! Look out! Be careful! Don't do that! If you're not in the Bible, the devil wins. You begin to doubt God's word because the devil will whisper in you just like he did with Eve and say, did God really say that? And if you haven't been in the Word of God, you might be like, I don't know if I remember exactly. And so I want you to know this. The Bible is here. It's more to be desired than much fine gold. It's sweeter than honey. It warns us, and then it rewards us. Look at this in verse 11, and I'm finished. Moreover, by them, by the Word of God, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. We saw this morning. How do we show God that we love Him? We obey Him. You don't go to heaven through obedience. Heaven is only granted, eternal life is only granted by faith in Jesus Christ. Repenting, turning from your sins, turning in faith to Christ. And then when you're saved, your desires change. Do you want to honor God? Do you want to serve the King? And then what's awesome is, it's this. Who was it that asked me? Somebody asked me about the unprofitable servant verse. Who asked me that? Somebody asked me that this past week. Maybe it wasn't anybody here. You asked me about it when we were meeting. The unprofitable servant. It's this. It's our duty. Then it's amazing when we do what we just were supposed to do that we benefit. Shouldn't be, right? But God says this. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you do what you're supposed to do, he will bless you. He will pour out his blessings. He will reward us. I'll finish with this thought from Spurgeon. I like this thought. It's one of the great rewards of keeping the word of God is peace of mind. A quiet conscience is a little heaven. A martyr was fastened to the stake, and the sheriff who was to execute him expressed his sorrow that he should persevere in his opinions and compel him to set fire to the pile. So this sheriff was going to light the pile of wood on fire, and this martyr was going to die. The martyr answered, do not trouble yourself, for I am not troubling myself. Come and lay your hand upon my heart and see if it does not beat quietly. His request was complied with, and he was found to be quite calm. The sheriff came over, put his hand on the martyr's heart, beating softly. He said, "Now," said the martyr, "lay your hand on your own heart and see if you are not more troubled than I am. And then go your way, and instead of pitying me, pity yourself." The stories of martyrs are amazing. God gives them peace. His grace is sufficient. His grace is so amazing that it will envelop them and help them through trials that are just almost unreadable. I want to ask you this morning, do you have the peace of God? The peace of God that passes understanding first only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand this. The peace of God is knowing Him, and the only way you can truly know Him is in His Word. I finish with this. Mama. I love the name Mama. Deb is Mimi to Elia. I'm Papa. Love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm at a redo stage here. I'm going to be a better papa than I was a dad. But some of you are still in the trenches. Isn't that good? I wish I felt like I felt right now when I was your age. I'd have been a better dad. You know this? All you can do is today, right? I know you guys. You're always like, we're failing. No, you are striving. And don't let it discourage you. Life is overwhelming, isn't it? And I know it's like just finding a house can derail you from the Word of God. Ask God to help you. Be able to find a house, finish the projects, change the diapers, do the laundry, enjoy each other, be married, right? And enjoy the Lord. If I could tell you the number one priority, make God your top priority. You'll never regret it. He'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Mama, 20 minutes. 20 minutes. 20 minutes every day. God will change your life. He'll change your heart. He'll give you understanding. Seek His face. I'm not treating it like a magic, what do you call that? Lantern. Thank you. The magic lantern that they rub, right? Yeah, I couldn't think of the name. A magic lantern, that's it. Aladdin had a lantern, right? Didn't he have a lantern? What did he have? A lamp, magic lamp. Okay, fine. Lantern, lamp. And I don't want you to treat the Bible that way. I want you to treat the Bible this way. I need nourishment. I need encouragement. How can I live one day without the Bible? I finished this with, remember the story I told you about the man from Chick-fil-A? He said, I can't do that. And yet then he told me he did it his entire life. He taught his kids and he could teach others. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. One day at a time. Let's pray.